Pretty good, I guess. Both Governor Malloy and UConn President Susan Herbst were out there at Avery Point at UConn saying this Republican-led budget could close down UConn and Avery Point, and the governor singled you out for criticism. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it says a lot about the governor's character, actually, if you think about it. There's absolutely nothing in our budget that relates to Avery Point that says it should be closed whatsoever. I find it irresponsible, a big void in leadership, that both him and President Herbst would, number one, scare students that should be in class, get them all riled up when UConn has the highest administration costs of any research university in the country. Almost 17% of your bill when you send your child to UConn goes for administration. If you can't trim some fat out of that, and find a balanced budget at UConn without closing regional campuses that you know are so intricate and integral in educating people going forward, young students who can't afford to go to the main campus, then you should find another job. This is outrageous. It's a lack of leadership, and it just shows the devoid that we have here in Hartford, where we have a governor who says he's supposed to be, quote, working on a bipartisan plan, trying to negotiate a budget. But and yet, he's down here in my district. Of course, I was actually at a funeral. I had no idea this was going on. And, singling out, trying to bully and demean a woman senator. I think it says a lot for his character.
So you believe that his criticism was demeaning and bullying to you?
Well, when you call out a woman senator in her district, you don't even give her the courtesy of letting her know there is a press conference. And you say things like, voting for this, she voted for a, quote, her vote was, quote, anti-intellectual, anti-education, anti-economic development. You know, and that to me is very demeaning. You would never hear a governor say that about a male senator. And everybody, I will tell you, has taken notice of that.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Senator Summers. One of the things you do, evidently women are not supposed to do, and that is stand up and tell somebody when they're wrong and challenge them. Evidently, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, I just think it says a lot for, you know, the governor's character, really. If I were a governor in this position that he is in, I would be doing everything I can for the citizens of Connecticut and coming up with a budget that works. Your role as the governor, as the chief executive, should be to be the go-between and be negotiating between the two sides to come to an agreement. That's what you do when you're a grown-up and you're a governor. You don't go into a senator's district and rile up students and make them feel fearful, make the professors feel scared, make the community uneasy about something that is absolutely not in that budget. You know, this is coming from the president of UConn, who makes $800,000 a year. She has three mansions. She has a driver. They have the ability to pay $300,000 for a speaker, Hillary Clinton, and yet we can't shave off less than 6% of their budget in a budget crisis we have here in Connecticut. We need to put it in perspective. The cut that we are asking for out of the university is $80 million. That's a lot of money. But their budget from the state of Connecticut taxpayers is $1.3 billion with a B. So when you put it in perspective of what we're asking them to sacrifice in a financial meltdown we're having here in Connecticut, it pales in comparison to what other organizations are having to do. We have those who are disabled, who have intellectual disabled. We have poor elderly that are facing massive cuts. They want to destroy the education system from K through 12. Our students are not going to get to go to UConn if we don't educate them from K through 12. So let's put some perspective on what you're saying. And I just found it very irresponsible, really reprehensible. You know, I don't care whether it was my district or somebody else's district that they decided to, you know, I called it an exaggeration tour. You know, scare tactics, people are seeing through it. It's time that we tighten our belt. Make difficult choices. They're not easy. Nobody likes to cut anything, but we are facing a $5 billion deficit here in Connecticut. You know, that number escapes people because it's so large, it's hard to wrap your mind around how big that is. And if we don't make these structural changes that this bipartisan budget has done, which are good for the citizens of Connecticut. They may not be good for the politicians, but they're good for the citizens of Connecticut. And that's why I ran, to help my community and to help every citizen in Connecticut. Then we're doing something wrong. We're not doing our job. I'm not there to protect the old guard and to continue to do things the way they were done. I'm there to try to make the needle move so Connecticut can once again be a great place to live like it used to be. You know, we have a governor and an executive branch right now, in my opinion, and I'm not speaking for the Senate, that is out of ideas. They're out of talent. They're out of resources. And they're out of allies. But our problem is we're out of time. We don't have time to watch this, you know, rhetoric going around. We need to get to the table and get a budget signed. We have a budget that's on the table. It's been vetted. It's been ready since April. It's been updated after the CBAC agreement. They refuse to have it be heard and refuse to debate it in the Senate. It's passed with bipartisan support. Sign the budget.
All right, Senator, hang in there. We're going to have more questions in just a moment. Senator Heather Summers, our guest. Brad, I know the roadways have been a mess this morning. What do they look like?
They are a mess every. You know, Dan, and I said this to you, I can't believe the number of accidents in this state every day.
Slow down, people.
Let's check out the bumper-to-bumper crowd right now with our friend Tom Coangelo, who's got that job this morning. Tom, good morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Brad. Good morning, Dan. Mess is an understatement. We have a multi-car accident now, East Hartford, on the East Hartford side of the Bulkley Bridge. Two lanes are blocked. The delays begin at Corbin's Corner. Very, very heavy all the way into downtown. And you can't get to 84 from Farmington. We have Route 4 shut down by Parsons there on the curve at Mountain Springs Road with a serious accident. 91, just normal volume. Same story with Route 2. We have a rollover accident in Waterbury, westbound 84 by Scott Road at exit 25. Delays begin in Cheshire, eastbound, heavy off the Mixmaster. With True Car, you can see what others have paid for the car you want, so you can recognize a great deal. For new or used cars, visit True Car for a more confident car buying experience. I'm Tom Colangelo. I'll be back in 15 minutes with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Okay, Tom, thank you. And we'll get back to State Senator Heather Summers in just a moment. But I do want you folks to know that your calls are coming in, yes, for MyPillow. And if you haven't heard this, the MyPillow guys are with us right on through the end of the year. So that means that you are going to continue to get that 50% discount. And just think about Christmas. I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it is. So those of you who have already purchased this fabulous pillow, all you have to do is sleep. I slept three nights using this pillow before I would advertise it on the radio, okay? Because I thought all pillows were the same, but they're not. And I guess you don't either, because you have gone for this tremendous deal of 50% off. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. And all you have to do is call 1-800-659-1135. And when the company extended the same offer with the same discount, I said, my gosh, what a wonderful Christmas gift. Because they're going to be with us till the end of the year. So get your friend one of these pillows. They'll remember you forever, I'm telling you. Wait until you sleep on it. Two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows, and all you have to do is call 1-800-659-1135 or go to mypillow.com and use promo code WDRC, and you still get that 50% off.
The Talk of Connecticut's and American Senior Benefits Luncheon Series returns. Join Brad Davis and Dan Lavallo Tuesday, October 10th from 11 to 2 at Farmington Gardens. With flu season and the enrollment period of Medicare upon us, Brad and Dan will have an expert health panel to help guide you through the ins and outs of enrolling yourself or a loved one into Medicare. Plus, the Healthy Choices Fast Vax mobile unit built by Hunter's Ambulance will be on site administering flu block flu shots covered by your insurance and administered by Hartford Healthcare at Home. home nurses. Open to the public, just bring your insurance card and ID. Tickets just $30, includes a delicious three-course lunch. Call 860-768-8550 to purchase your tickets. That's 860-768-8550. The Talk of Connecticut's and American Senior Benefits Luncheon Series with Brad Davis and Dan Lavallo, Tuesday, October 10th at Farmington Gardens, 999 Farmington Avenue in Farmington. More information at talkofconnecticut.com.
State Senator Heather Summers out of Groton, and she, of course, is a state senator who is not afraid to speak up and was very upset when, you know, what bothers me and Dan as well is all of a sudden, I will never forget when the president of UConn said that they might have to close their engineering school. Can you imagine? They don't have to close their engineering school. And then all of a sudden, it's Avery Point. That's another one because of the cuts in the budget. And that's the area that Senator Summers represents, and we have her on the program this morning.
We do, Brad. Now, Senator, as you know, the budget that was led by the Republicans with some bipartisan support is the only budget that has passed the legislature, and it is getting criticized, including by those who say it only provides $7 million for Hartford. So let me read this story to you, just a paragraph from last night's town hall meeting in Hartford. The Hartford Current reporting, Mayor Bronin had a town hall meeting. The mayor has requested $40 million from the state legislature to address expected cash shortfalls in the coming months, without which the city could be forced to declare bankruptcy. On Wednesday night, a resident asked whether the city could still declare bankruptcy if it received the $40 million. Here was the mayor's answer, quote, "We cannot take any option off the table. $40 million does not solve the problem. Even if it came every year, it does not solve the problem." As a state lawmaker being asked to pony up a lot of money to bail out Hartford, what do you think of that statement?
I think that statement actually says it all. Are we going to continue to allocate resources to a city that will need continual, massive subsidies from the taxpayers of Connecticut in the financial condition that we are in? Again, if I were the governor, which I'm not, I would be working with every business, every community leader, the mayor included, surrounding towns, and coming up with a comprehensive plan for Hartford. Throwing money at Hartford has not worked in the past, and it's simply not going to work again. I mean, you can't just keep throwing money at something that is completely broken. It needs to revamp. There needs to be a long-term plan to get the investment community in there also, but come up with a long-term plan for Hartford, not just ask the legislature to give you money year after year after year when we see the condition and the economic, you know, outcome of Hartford. It's not working. So stop. It's like giving, you know, what is the definition of insanity? Let's continue to do the same thing. And each year the number gets larger and larger and larger. And that's one of the things that we had, you know, a large contention with. Are we going to give them $50 million this year? It's not just this year, and that does not avoid bankruptcy. It's $50 million until, you know, some unforeseeable future. It's continual. So that's not fixing the problem. You know, a governor, a leader would be in there coming up with a comprehensive plan for Hartford and how do we fix it? How do we save our capital city? Because that's what we should do here in Connecticut. I mean, this is our capital city, the history, our capital, our legislature's there. We need to save it. We need to fix it. But we need a long-term plan to do it. And just throwing money at it is not going to work.
And you know, Senator, it's not as if the governor didn't know about Hartford's situation. We've known for years about Hartford's financial situation.
It's been this way for a long, long time.
I agree. I'm in there, and I'm thinking, how did this happen? And then you think, God, this has been going on for 30 years or 20 years or, putting – I'm not somebody who wants to put my head in the sand and just pretend it's not happening. And I have to say that what I've experienced is there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, well, we've done this way forever. And you want to say, well, it's clearly not working because Connecticut used to be this prosperous state. And now we are literally ranked one above Illinois. We have Puerto Rico, Illinois, Connecticut. So we have a huge opportunity. Although we have challenges, we have a huge opportunity to do the right thing and bring Connecticut up to where it should be. We have a beautiful state. We have gorgeous resources. We have this wonderful brain trust here in Connecticut. And we have the opportunity is in our hands. It's challenging, but I always look at we can only go up. And let's work together to make this happen. Let's not be down here, you know, bickering over party politics and trying to, you know, be partisan about it. Let's work together. And unfortunately, we don't have somebody at the top that's willing to do that.
Why would they say Avery Point? Got to close Avery Point. Why would they say that?
Because they know Avery Point is extremely popular. We have kids from all over the region that go to that satellite campus. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I have,
but it's
yes.
One of the most beautiful places in Groton, Connecticut. It is a peninsula. It is, you know, it was a baron's home years ago. It has a gilded mansion on it. It's spectacular, absolutely stunning. It is bursting at the seams. We've actually been asking for years to put dorms down there because it is so popular. So, of course, let's pick the Republican senator. Let's pick one of the most beautiful places, one that will really pull on the heartstrings of the entire community. We know that there's an opportunity for synergy there between Electric Boat and some of the education that we could possibly create there out of Avery Point. There's synergy with Pfizer. So let's pick the one that makes the most sense to keep open, and let's say we're going to close it, because that will get people really upset. They won't like the senator. We'll get the students all riled up. We'll have them protest, and it will make us feel good about the fact we're not doing anything. That's what I think.
Senator, now you're vice chair of the legislature's education committee, and I'm getting reports this morning that the inauguration of the new president at Central Connecticut State University, which used to be a one-day event, has now been turned into a four-day event, where 65,000 emails have been sent out for invitations, and it's going to cost $1 million. Do you know anything about that?
I do not, but thank you for enlightening me. I don't know whether that has been something, you know, I know that, for example, at UConn, we just a few months ago celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Avery Point campus, and there was a spectacular party there with, you know, lighted tents and cocktail shrimp. It was gorgeous. I actually had professors come up to me during that event and say, you know what, you could cut my salary by 20%. I wouldn't notice. Look at this view. I had another professor come up to me and say, boy, you'd never know that we're in a budget crisis when you look at this. I believe that money for that particular party came out of the UConn Foundation, where they raise money separately.
Right.
And that could be the case for Central. Okay. I don't know. I can't really speak to that because I'm just finding out. But if that's the case, and that's the taxpayers' dollars, again, don't tell me we can't trim less than 6% off of a huge operating budget and maintain what we have. I mean, there is administrator on top of administrator in these organizations, and we just can't afford to do it any longer. If this was your home budget and, you know, all of a sudden your salary was, you know, cut in half or cut by a third, what are the first things to go? The things you don't need. You know, you have to give up cable. You can't maybe go out to pizza. The things that you do that everyday people are doing here in Connecticut. When I look at the families in my community that are struggling, they're trying to work another job. They're getting chickens in their backyard so they don't have to buy eggs.
Senator, we're out of time, but you're
system.
Yeah, Senator, thanks very much. I'd be curious if you could find out about that Central situation for us.
I will get
thanks
back
so
to
much.
You on that.
Great.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Take care.
Boy, there's a lot of stuff. Huh? Can you imagine that story when that came out?
Carol Platt-Lebo coming up after the news, Brad.
Absolutely.
Fox News Radio.